Cowboys win 40-39. Oh, gosh. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
You know, I will give him this. There was a moment in that game when in the fourth quarter, and I think it was after the two-point conversion failed, there was a shot on the sideline of Dak, of him staring off into space. It may have been before that. It may have been the drive after the Falcons scored to make it 39-23 or whatever it was.
39-24.
24, okay, yeah. It may have been at that point, and they show him, and he is staring off. I don't know if you guys remember this or caught this. They leave the camera on him for a good 10, 15 seconds, and, you know, Moose is saying something about him, and he looks like he's in another world. Like, he has got that look of, I cannot believe we're 0-2. I cannot believe that this thing, as talented as he probably thinks the team is, that they're staring at 0-2 heading to Seattle. And it was a really weird moment, at least from my perspective, looking at what I thought was going through his head. Because let's face it, as we talked about on Friday, you don't want to start out 0-2, and you certainly don't want to start out 0-3, which I have a feeling Sunday's not going to go in a kick-ass way for him, but that's for another day.
Well, yeah.
But they fought. I mean, they figured it out. He fought his ass off and never quit.
He always does.
I know.
That's the thing is, it's weird how, and I should, you know, I just got done talking to Stars fans about not caring what people say, but then I really do take it personally when people act like he's never accomplished anything as a quarterback, including what I think is one of his finest hours was that second half of the divisional round as a rookie against the Green Bay Packers and Aaron freaking Rodgers, who at the time, Rodgers was in the biggest zone of his career, or at least of this last decade, probably 2012 on. That 2016 stretch run when he did the RELAX relax thing, and then he played like 10 straight games of almost perfect quarterback play. And they rolled in here, and Dak went toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers. Was it perfect? No. He was a rookie playing Aaron Rodgers. It's not going to be perfect. But, dude, the way he fought and the way he inspired the offense to fight and the way he had them tied with 30 seconds to go, and then he cannot defend Jared Cook.
Right.
He can't block a kick. Okay. Does that mean he failed that day? If you say yes, then you weren't watching, or you just refuse to, you know, break up with your boyfriend Romo, and you just are not going to ever give in that this guy's better, or not better, but he's here now. You know, I'm not here to adjudicate whether he's better. I am here to say he was great that day, as great as Romo's ever been in a playoff game, and as great as, you know, I mean, it was just an awesome day. Then he went toe-to-toe with Russell Wilson and beat him. On a 3rd-and-14 run where he had to beat Bobby Wagner to get to the sticks, and they won that game. And yet still people act like, show me something in a big game someday. What do you need, man, than Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you want him to take down Terry Bradshaw? I mean, it's just it's a very, very odd world that he lives in. But at the same time, what I saw yesterday was exactly what I was calling for on Friday. There's going to be some games where the breaks are going to be beating the boys, to use the Newt Rockne speech. And you've got to dig a little deeper as a QB1 who makes that type of cash and prove that sometimes you can pull a game out of the fire. Now, as many will point out, he also wasn't on the onside kick team. And so pulling the game out of the fire sometimes requires absurd amounts of good fortune going your way. But you still have to fight to be in a position. And you still have to dig and dig and make plays. And he was making plays all day. Man, that throw to Cooper was great. Now, Cooper had to do some really cool contortion to
the one-hander?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did you? I don't think Fox did a good job of showing the replay of Dak getting tattooed on that throw.
Yeah.
And then, of course, a couple plays later, Deion Jones goes helmet to helmet on him, and he's in the concussion tent. But I thought this was a signature Dak Prescott performance. I thought he was fantastic, and I thought he never looked broken to me. He never looked like he was going to give in, and he was going to fight to the very end. Now, it still wasn't going to be enough.
No.
And that's why...
You need a miracle, and he got a miracle.
That's why you needed the miracle, and you got a miracle. And so let's circle all the way back, if you don't mind, to just the general discussion of where is everybody at with this coaching staff? Because I swear to you, 2:15 yesterday afternoon, the number of people saying this is exactly the same stuff, this is Garrett 2.0, this is all this stuff, and I'm like, man, I hear you, and I know we all get worked up over losses, especially getting blown out of your own stadium by a pretty mediocre football team in Atlanta. But, man, the way they are making decisions feels like, I mean, it feels like a kid's playing Madden, for one thing. And this is, I guess, part of maybe, I don't want to say being old, but being lifelong football fans, is that these legendary coaches that we all hold up as the greatest things ever, they all had a pretty conservative way about them, except, like, Jimmy Johnson, we thought, was this wild risk taker, but maybe he only was compared to his contemporaries, and maybe, you know, decision for decision. I wonder where he would rate by today's standards. I don't know.
Well, okay, so from a coaching perspective, and it's almost like that NFC Championship game against the 49ers when they had the three turnovers early and went down 21-0. You don't blame any of that on coaching. Those were players that are being paid a fortune.
Yeah.
To make plays that didn't. And, you know, the Dak fumble was a... He's got to protect the ball better in those situations. And
for sure.
And, you know, Zeke fumbling a couple of times. That's Zeke Elliott. That's one of the top five highest paid running backs on the planet.
You want him to never go down once in a while.
Yeah.
You're going to cough the ball up. It's not great, but it's collateral.
You got Dalton Schultz. You got Tony Pollard. You got these guys, you know, fumbling left and right. They're so lucky that the score wasn't 35-0.
It was pretty bad, though.
Yeah, it was bad.
It's tough to get to 20-0 by the end of one.
But you're a coaching staff, and you kind of are thinking probably after that, like, what do we do? What can we do? We have to make a difference because the players aren't doing it, and we got to provide some sort of spark. And even though that first fake punt didn't work out, I was like, dude, great call, and you were an inch away from it working. Now, the second fake punt, I thought, was incredibly reckless.
Yeah.
And ridiculous.
Yeah, and here's the one thing. As much as I love this sport and as much as I follow it and try to read and listen to everything I can get my hands on, I just never get a feel for the old, well, that's an automatic. And I like, well, what do you mean by that? Well, if the guy on the punt team sees this, he can do it at any time. And I'm like, you sure about that? Oh, yeah, yeah, that's how it works. And I always wonder about how insane that is to me, that a coach wants his hands on everything, but then he's willing to trust this guy who is not a starter, by the way. Like, if you want, if Ray Lewis is your up man on a punt, and you trust him because 80 plays every single Sunday, he makes right decisions out there, and you trust him. No, it's usually a guy that is on the fringe of your roster.
Right.
That's,
you're, you know, not familiar with the name.
I mean, if I remember correctly, the culture, or the cowboy way, was every punt was a fake punt, and you had to call it off.
Well, I mean, honestly,
if I'm not mistaken, in the 90s.
Well, I think it's been explained at times that there are certain things that are just automatics. And if they're not respecting this, then we're going to do this every single time. And I've never fully bought it, but I've also never seen anyone refute it with any amount of authority. And I think it's a team-to-team thing.
Well, McCarthy said after the game, that's on me.
Yeah, he said, like, the second one was too far.
Yeah, I should have called it off.
Yeah.
I'm like, why didn't you?
Well, because at the moment, it seems like a good idea until your guy never even gets close to the marker.
He coaches by feel, Corby, and you live and die with it, man.
He doesn't coach by feel at all. The math is hard with that one. That guy is all about looking at whatever book he has or
it's
sheet
a weird
that he has.
Book. The book is so weird that sometimes it looks like he's coaching by, I just had a feeling.
Well, and there's two ends of the spectrum, aren't there? There is an 11-year-old playing Madden way over here, and there's Jason Garrett football way over here. And I think part of what we're seeing is probably not that crazy level of coaching that we think we're seeing, only because we've been conditioned for the last decade that everything is too chancy to try here.
Unless the media rips him for a week and then he does something stupid.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the other thing. And I don't think McCarthy's that kind of guy. I think probably once you win a Super Bowl, you no longer really care what columnist Jim has to say or talk show host Bill is talking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, you've raised the Lombardi Trophy, so you don't really need the validation of sports radio man. But I do assume that he's in a spot where he really believes some of this stuff and he's not out there just making mistakes and just being foolish.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.